This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Very rarely is an article so good I read the entire thing to you. This is one of those times. Here's what the New York Post said, and you won't find this anywhere else. Headline, China blinked, and Trump clearly won the first round of his tariff war. This is why you're not going to hear this most other places. The opening round of the tariff war with China is over, and earlier last week, President Trump achieved a very clear win. He had Chinese leader Xi Jinping on the ropes. Trump's 145% tariffs on Chinese goods landed a crushing blow on Beijing's economy, already staggering under the weight of rising unemployment, unsustainable debt, and rising bankruptcies. But instead of giving China a knockout punch, Trump decided to hit the pause button. And it's worth asking why. With foreign investment pouring into the U.S., job growth strong, inflation low and falling, Trump was under little domestic pressure to back off Beijing, skittish global markets notwithstanding. Xi Jinping, however, was desperate to make a deal. The past few weeks have seen tens of thousands of Chinese businesses closed. Let me repeat that. The last few weeks have seen tens of thousands of Chinese businesses closed and millions of workers laid off. Had the high tariffs continued, over 50% of export companies would have gone under and 30 million workers would have been on the streets. Xi knew that. With falling property values and shrinking domestic consumption, keeping exports flowing to the U.S. was vital to China's survival. Americans only buy about 16% of China's total exports, but because we buy in bulk and pay on time, we provide 50% of that sector's profits. And folks, China is an export-based market. All this is why China, the New York Post writes, as soon as the tariffs were announced, called for a meeting. Not long after, China's finance minister, Lan Fuan, traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. The meeting was held in the basement of the International Monetary Fund and, at China's insistence, was kept secret. This meeting paved the way for last week's confab in Switzerland, at which China made some major concessions, reducing its tariff rates on U.S. goods to 10% and, even more important, promising to stop the flow of deadly fentanyl into the U.S. Okay, in response, the U.S. decided to temporarily release its chokehold on China's economy. The tariff on Chinese goods will drop to 30%. That's enough to generate billions in revenue for the U.S. while giving little breathing room to that country's exporters. Yes, and we're talking about goods shipping under $800. That tariff's still sitting at 50%, but it's not the crushing 145%. Now, this pause in the 145% tariff was only for 90 days. A lot of people call it a trade deal. It wasn't. It's only for 90 days while they negotiate. The New York Post continues. Trump has learned three things from the current slugfest with Xi Jinping. First, he's been reminded that China always cheats. China's negotiators in Switzerland admitted, this part blew my mind, that they did not honor their original trade agreement with Trump signed in January 2020. Because Biden was weak. Here's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who was part of the negotiations with the Chinese, describing that situation.
But in January 2020, President Trump produced a template. We had an excellent trade agreement with China, and the Biden administration chose not to enforce it. The Chinese delegation basically told us that once President Biden came into office, they just ignored their obligations. So, we all already have a large framework.
All right, let me stop here because this is the part where I start to get a little baffled. What is going on? We've just learned this. The second Donald Trump is gone, this Chinese trade deal, it's just going to be ignored. China already knows the Democrats will let them do whatever the heck they want. In other words, with Walmart saying, hey, look, our prices could go up by 30%. And look, they get a lot of stuff from China. That's probably why they're saying due to the tariffs. I don't mind pain to decouple from China. But if all that pain is just to cut another trade deal that China will ignore, then why bother? But that's exactly what Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said we're going to do. He said we don't want to decouple from China. We just want market access.
Jake, I think what we're going to see, just like we saw with the UK trade deal, my sense is it's what we'll see with China. We don't want to decouple with China. And President Trump actually wants to open up China for business. So the manufacturing we want to bring back, we had during COVID, we realized that we had some very strategic shortfall.
Folks, I hate to say it, but I can't help thinking then all of this is a waste of time. Let's just skip the 30% increase in Walmart products and be done with it. And I don't mean to be negative about this, folks, but China ain't the UK, as Scott Bessent was just saying there, which gets me to the second half of the New York Post article, because a remarkable thing happened at these negotiations in Switzerland. Up until now, China's always denied any involvement in the fentanyl murders of more than 250,000 Americans since just, get this, 2017. That's nuts. Yet the New York Post writes, Trump's tariffs forced Xi Jinping's negotiators into a second big reveal, when for the first time they linked fentanyl to the tariff wars. They would stop the outflow of the deadly drug and its chemical precursors from China to the cartels in return for tariff relief. That doesn't make any sense. What are they telling us? Well, you know, but the next time a Democrat wins, we'll just resume killing y'all. You guys good? Cool. We'll sell you some more cheap stuff. Because you know what that means? China could have shut down the fentanyl trade with the Mexican cartels at any time. And what they do is they provide the chemicals to make the fentanyl, and then it's made in Mexico. The final lesson learned from Trump's tariff strategy is that mighty China, the New York Post writes, the communist giant supposedly poised to dominate the world of the 21st century, is a paper tiger. In the end, Trump decided not to use America's vast leverage to push China into collapse with all of the unpredictable consequences that might ensue for the Chinese people in the world. But he now knows he could. Folks, let me bottom line this for you. Unless we want to live in a world where China is the lone superpower dominating economically, we need to do one simple thing. We need to destroy the Chinese Communist Party and make China into a democracy like Japan. And Trump was well on his way to doing that. And then there's what happened. Soon as they leave Switzerland, news breaks. Headline. Rogue communication devices found in Chinese solar power inverters. When they send us these big solar farmed like devices that collect the solar energy, those devices hook to the grid. We buy all of that tech from China. Well, it comes with a sort of map. And we're not stupid. We go in and we make sure that there aren't any component parts that shouldn't be there, spyware, that kind of thing. Well, a part left off the so-called kind of, it's like a map they send us. A part was left off. It was in the inverter, you know, where it connects up to the grid that would allow the Chinese remotely to shut down parts of our grid these solar panels connect to. They could even be very large parts of our grid. They're called power inverters, according to MSN. They're predominantly produced in China. They're used throughout the world to connect solar panels and wind turbines to electricity grids, but they're also found in batteries, heat pumps, and electric vehicle chargers. In other words, China has been finding new and ever more inventive ways to be able to shut down our grid. Folks, these are acts of war.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, remember what we've reported before on the Battleground America podcast, the story first broken last fall by the Wall Street Journal, when even the FBI director was warning that the Chinese had the ability to switch off our water, many of our water treatment plants, some of our nuke plants. They're in our ports, and they're also in our energy grids. They're also, by the way, at key junctures within the internet, giving them the ability to shut down God knows how much of our society. Folks, you do that for a couple of days, the shelves are going to be bare at the grocery store. They could starve us. But I mean, they never really do that, would they? I mean, they would just be content to have murdered over 250,000 of us with fentanyl, people who would not be dead otherwise, because many of them didn't use hard drugs. But I mean, they would never actually hack us and bring any of that down, would they? Well, that whole picture changed in April. If you haven't read this article, I encourage you to read it. It's in the Wall Street Journal. It's called In Secret Meeting, China Acknowledged Role of U.S. Infrastructure Hacks. I can't stop talking about it. Here's what happened. The Biden administration in December had their last meeting with the Chinese delegation. And the Chinese have always denied any role in the massive cyber hack called Volt Typhoon, saying it must have been criminal gangs that did it. Well, this time was different. This time, without being asked, they volunteered as if proud. Yeah, we did it. Quote from the Wall Street Journal, the first of its kind signal from the Chinese at a Geneva summit with the outgoing Biden administration startled American officials used to hearing their Chinese counterparts blame the hacking campaign on, you know, criminal gangs, saying, you know, we have an overactive imagination. They made it clear our support for Taiwan was why they did it. This was punishment. The Wall Street Journal writes, most of the American delegation in the room interpreted it as a tacit admission and a warning to the U.S. about Taiwan. Who in the hell did the Chinese think they are? But then I thought about it. They're the folks who got away with murdering millions of people, including hundreds of thousands of us with COVID. Remember this from regular CNBC contributor Danielle DiMartino? She's the CEO of Money Strong. She's talking about the period in late 2019 when the Trump team had signed that trade deal that Scott Bessent was talking about earlier in this podcast.
I will say this much, and if you're listening, write it down. In late November, word had already gotten off of the mainland that there was a virus in Wuhan. 6 weeks later, the trade truce was signed with an out clause, a very clever out clause that the Chinese made sure was in there that said if there was any kind of act of God pandemic, then they didn't have to make good on what they had committed to buy from the United States. Within days, they announced the first coronavirus. So, did the Chinese know damn well that this thing was running around the world for 6 weeks before they shut down Wuhan? Yes, they did. Is that criminal? Yes, it is. Does it deserve to go in front of a world tribunal? Yes, it does.
These are the people we're going to have reciprocal trade with, like we do with the UK? Not a future, folks. It's not. We need to do one thing and one thing only. We're going to have to fight the Chinese. And I break it to you. We can either do it with bullets and blood, or my preferred way, economically. And the goal has to be this. We must crush the Chinese Communist Party. And I'm not alone in thinking this. You know who else agrees with me? And notice here how different Secretary of State Marco Rubio sounds from Scott Bessent. Rubio says we need to stop buying from them completely. There's a good shot that this leads to a revolution and the final overthrow of the Chinese Communist Party. It may not succeed, folks, but it's worth trying. And it's the only thing that would make 30% increased cost on Walmart goods worth it in the long term. Here's Rubio.
We were far too dependent on China. We allowed them through unfair trade practices to deindustrialize us and to use not just tariffs, but non-tariff barriers, currency manipulation, dumping We've allowed them to use all of those things.
Intellectual property theft.
Stealing intellectual property, and really left us deindustrialized as a country and heavily dependent on them. That's a very dangerous place to be, and President Trump is taking it on, and he's doing it now because it needs to be done now. It cannot wait any longer. Two more years in this direction, and we are going to be in a lot of trouble really dependent on China. So I do think there's this broader question about how much we should buy from them at all moving forward.
Look, what I hope is that Trump wants to look reasonable, and he and Bessent are going to take this 90 days and cut this deal of some kind with China, or try to look reasonable so the markets don't go into full rebellion. But folks, cutting a deal with them, any deal, I don't care what it says, it's not a way forward. You can see why. Folks, I get we're not going to be able to make everything here. I don't expect that we will. But look how quickly we were able to move the entire supply chain, 100% of the manufacturing of Apple iPhones, out of China and into India. India, last time I looked, not trying to kill us. You put together the dead from COVID and the dead from fentanyl, folks, that's a million dead Americans. And that million dead American figure, folks, that's using the 50% fake COVID death rate that's been pretty consistent around the world. About half of the COVID cases that resulted in death actually were deaths, and the other half were people who died with COVID. That's been the case from the state of New York, as admitted by the governor of New York, all the way to London. Same system, same fake deaths. So you put together the total fentanyl deaths, about 500,000, and the total COVID deaths, that's just a million dead Americans. And we're like, yeah, you know, we'll sit and talk some more. No, the time for talking is over. If we can't make it here affordably, we'll make it in India. We'll make it in Indonesia. And we'll close the back door to China. It's got to happen now. We cannot fall for this again. What we need to do is, instead of making China great again, we need to make China Japan again. An Asian democracy that makes a lot of stuff. And look, if they want to be a trade competitor of ours as a democracy, fine with me. I don't care. But not like this.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.